Well, tonight I want to continue. Continue on the theme of wisdom, but I'm going to take it off at a tangent and just look at something else. You know, because over these last few months we've been studying this theme of walking in wisdom, and we're going to develop this a little further. And God willing, over these next few weeks, I want us to look at a subject which is a direct result of walking in wisdom. So first of all, before we get into the scriptures, now let me just remind you what I believe wisdom is. And I quoted this quite a few weeks ago. And my definition of wisdom is this. It's the ability to hear, judge accurately, and act upon God's principles for righteous living. Obviously, God's principles being the Word of God. The ability to hear, judge accurately, and act upon God's principles, the Word of God, for righteous living. You know, this total dependency and reliance on God's Word and the putting it into practice will lead us into certain blessings. I want to remind you again, something that Jesus said, and it's, you'll know when I read the scripture how many times I've quoted this over the last few months. In Matthew's Gospel chapter 7, verse 24, Jesus said these words. He said, "Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock." A scripture that we're very familiar with, particularly those of us that grew up going through Sunday school, and we'd hear these stories. They were taught to us from a young age that the wise man and the foolish man that built their houses. You know, what Jesus is saying is, he says a wise man builds on rock. A wise man builds on rock. So, what actually is he saying here? What's the theme of this thought that he put on at the end of his message that he was preaching? He says, if we're going to be wise, now, we're not talking about worldly wisdom. We're not talking about what the world regards as the wise thing to do, because that is totally different, as we have seen. What he's saying here, he says that if we are going to be wise, we will build, or we will construct and establish our lives upon what he says, the Word of God. That's why Jesus says, you know, these sayings of mine. Now, he's not just he's God, so this encompasses the Old Testament, it encompasses all of the New Testament. You know, we can't say, well, just because it's in the Old Testament and Jesus didn't say it, that we don't need to adhere to it. No, it's all in all. It's complete. And what happens is, as a result of building our lives on the Word of God, when any storm, any form of trouble, any trial, anything that's going to come and attack us, like the strong winds and the waves that will beat hard upon us, if we're established on the Word of God, if we're built on the rock, we will remain strong and standing. If our lives are built on anything else other than the Word of God, if it's on the security of what the government might do for us, we are going to suffer a crumbling fall. If we're built upon what one another says, we are going to fall. If our lives are built upon anything that's not firm, not sound, like the Word of God, we are going to crumble and fall when the slightest bit of pressure or these storms come and hit us. And it's amazing how many people we've encountered in the past. You know, when they can come to church week by week, they can listen to the Word of God, and the slightest little storm doesn't have to be a violent storm. Just a little, almost like a little breeze blows. They're throwing their arms in there saying, you know, what's happening to me? Why am I in this mess? Why is this happening? And they ask, they say, Pastor, pray for us. And I've been amazed. Perhaps I shouldn't say this, but I'll share it anyway. I won't mention any names, but not that I don't think you would know them. But I am recording this, and some people might be listening back in the UK that I know. there was a certain person in our church fellowship. You know, I preached week by week, just as I'm doing now. I build studies, and you build line upon line, precept upon precept. You go slowly. You establish almost like a building a house. And they come to you after you've preached a message, and they will come up to you almost within minutes of you finishing the service, and they will say to you, in those days, you know, pastor back then, they say, Pastor, they say, we've got a problem. We don't know what to do. And you almost feel like you want to pull your hair out and say, well, haven't you just been listening to the last 30 minutes of what I've been saying? You know, it just seems to over their heads. Why? Because they're not established on the Word of God. You know, we need to be established. We will remain strong and we will stand. Now, this wisdom, this gives us security, strength, and peace of mind and heart. You know, the pastor was preaching this morning on the peace. You know, wisdom will give us security. It's not found in wealth or in material things. Wisdom will give us strength. That doesn't come from necessarily being in a big group. Wisdom will give us peace of mind and peace of heart. So let's go in the scriptures to the book of Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3. And we're going to read verse 13. Again, for the sake of time tonight, I'm not going to read the whole of this chapter, but we're just going to go through and see some things that it says. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 13. Now, in verse 13, it starts off with these words. Just going to read this verse to you. It says, happy is the man who finds wisdom, and the man who gains understanding. Happy is the man who finds wisdom and the man who gains understanding. Now, this word happy in the Hebrew is this word isha, and this word can also be translated as blessed. So we can justifiably change this scripture without altering the meaning of it, without altering the context. We can insert this word, we can take out the word happy, we can put the word blessed in. Blessed is the man who finds wisdom. Now, in the New Testament, in the Greek, there's a similar word, which is, forget the pronunciation correct, it's something like makarios. We see this word again many times in the New Testament. In Matthew 5 verse 1 is a good example. Matthew chapter 5 verse 1. And this says exactly, means exactly the same. It could be translated happy or blessed. Now, most of the translations like the that we've got here tonight, the Authorized Version or the New King James Version, or even the NIV, if you have that, this will say blessed. That's what I heard in my text. Blessed. If you look at some of the other translations, I know we've got a Good News up here, or a New Century Version. New Living says joyful. Which also means, it means happy. Blessed. Happy.
The scripture of Matthew 5.
Matthew 5 verse 1. This is where Jesus is. It's what we call the Beatitudes. You know, blessed is them. Okay. it's about six verses. Blessed. Some versions translate that, happy is the man. Others say blessed. And it's the same word. It's interchangeable. So here in Proverbs, we read that the man who finds wisdom is blessed. He's a happy man, a blessed man. And look what it says actually in the next verse in Proverbs 3. It says that the proceeds of wisdom, this is verse 14, the proceeds of wisdom are better than the profits of silver and gold. The proceeds of wisdom are better than the profits of silver and the gain of wisdom than fine gold. Now how many are there? You'll know people like this. How many are there that there are millions of people throughout, I should probably say billions of people throughout the world that are chasing after and trusting silver and gold? You see them as I walk to school in the mornings along the promenade here. You see, they are one by one, they're going into the little lotto office to get to, because they're chasing wealth, they're chasing silver, they're chasing gold. And they think that if they can work hard enough, or they can win it, or they can accumulate this wealth, that they will be secure. The Word of God says that it's to have wisdom is better than all the profit of silver and gold. Actually, in fact, the person here that's writing in the Proverbs, we believe it to be Solomon, he goes on and says, in verse 15, says, wisdom, well, it's denoted in the verse by this, the personal pronoun she, wisdom is more precious than rubies. And all the things you may desire cannot compare with her. Oh, how we need wisdom. It's better than the profits of silver and gold. It's more precious than rubies. More precious than diamonds. Anything that we may desire cannot compare with wisdom. It's no wonder the writer here, believe it to be Solomon, no wonder he can say here that blessed is the man who finds wisdom. Then the next few verses, right down to verse 26, just lists some of the blessings that come through wisdom. Let me just briefly go through them. We won't read the verses as they are, but in verse 16, just look at that. It says length of days. Length of days. What's it talking about? It's talking about their longevity. You know, it's a blessing. You know, we can live to a good old age. Why? Because wisdom will show us how to live. There's honor. Riches and honor, in verse 16 it says. Riches. You know, yes, God wants us to be blessed. You know, we're no good if we are poor and, you know, that is from the enemy to keep us poor. You know, God wants to, we're not necessarily talking about having millions and billions. But enough to be able to live, to be comfortable, and I believe also prosperity, not only that we've got enough to live ourselves, but we've got enough that we can give away. Amen. If we're just going to look at us four and no more, then we are missing what the whole of the gospel message is about. It's not about just us. It's about looking out for others as well, giving to others. And that is prosperity. Then it talks about honor and integrity. We can be men and women. God's word will show us how to be men and women of our word. We'll have integrity. Then verse 17 talks about pleasant ways. Wisdom will lead us in the right way. The paths of peace. It will lead us along the right paths. Verse 18 mentions the tree of life. Well, wisdom will show us how to live. We have this eternal life, abundant life. Do you want to live abundantly? You know, Jesus said, I've come that you might have life and you might have it in abundance. Wisdom will show us how. Verse 22. Oh, sorry, it talks about happiness in verse 18 as well. You know, blessed is the man who finds wisdom. You know, there's true joy and happiness when we are living and walking in wisdom. Verse 22 talks about grace. Grace as a spiritual ornament. You know, His glory and favor upon us. The grace of God resting on us. Verse 23, it says here, look at these. It says, let me read this verse to you. Because we're still talking about wisdom. Look at you, verse 21, he says, don't let them depart from your eyes. He says, keep sound wisdom and discretion. Because in verse 23, he says, then you will walk safely in your way. And your foot will not stumble. Their safety, their security. Walking in wisdom. Verse 24 says that we will not be, when you lie down, you will not be afraid. Wisdom will lead us, so will show us and teach us and take us along the right path. We don't need to be afraid, don't need to fear what man will do to us or what things or what the enemy might want to throw at us. We don't have to be afraid. Actually, we shouldn't be afraid. It's a sin to be afraid. Jesus said, fear not. So that, I'm talking about that, you know, that petrifying fear. You know, there's a fear, there's a reverence, a holy fear. But then I like these words. Look at verse 24. I don't know what your Bible says. It says, when you lie down, you will not be afraid. Yes, you will lie down and your sleep will be sweet.
this morning, I read that Philippians 1:27-30 out about we have to strive together as one for the faith of the gospel without being frightened.
Yes. Yeah, when you lie down, your sleep will be sweet. You know what that is? To have a sweet sleep, that means you're free from worry. How many times have you been worried about something? I know Pastor touched on it this morning. You're worrying about something. Do you know the first thing that really got... It's your sleep.
Yes.
You don't get the sleep you need. And you don't sleep, you feel anxious, and as Pastor was sharing this morning. Then in verse 25, it says, do not be afraid of sudden terror, nor of trouble from the wicked when it comes. You know, there's no fear of terror or trouble when we're walking in wisdom. Why? Because we know God is on our side. God is leading us. God is directing us. God is showing us the right path. And that gives us, verse 26, confidence in God. A faith and an unwavering trust in Him. And He will keep your foot from being caught. Wisdom will bring us divine protection. If we... What did Jesus say? Hear these sayings of mine and do them. He goes on in the next chapter. Look, just come with me to verse 10 of chapter 4. Chapter 4, verse 10. Because the wise king writes these words. He says, hear my son, and receive my sayings. And the years of your life will be many. I have taught you in the way of wisdom. I have led you in right paths. When you walk, your steps will not be hindered. And when you run, you will not stumble. Take firm hold of instruction. Do not let go. Keep her, for she is your life. That's wisdom. Now here again we see there's some promised blessings to those who hear and receive God's word and they grasp it and they walk up with it. Again, we touched on it a little while ago. It says the years of your life will be many. Your steps will be unhindered. You're free to walk from distress. You know that word there, talks about going, you can walk confidently, taking big steps. Yes, that's what Paul was really talking about when he said, look, he said, I'm pressing on toward the prize. I press on. You know, I'm walking confidently, knowing that I'm not in distress. And it says that we will not stumble, we will not faint, we will not fall. In other words, we won't give in because we know the way to go. We don't have to quit, we don't have to give up. And I think all these blessings that we've read in chapters 3 and 4 can really be summed up or wrapped up in just one word. And it's what Pastor was talking about this morning. Peace. You know, peace. This is a type of rest that we enjoy as God's people. When we're walking in wisdom, we have peace. Now, over the next few weeks, God willing, as I said, I want to look at this subject of wisdom. I want to look at this, around this topic, the blessedness of rest. Amen. The blessedness of rest. Now, let's go. I haven't got many more. It won't be long. But turn with me to Hebrews chapter 3. Because if you're at peace, you have rest.
Rest in mind.
Rest in everything. Peace of mind. Your mind's at rest. You're not worrying, you're not stressing, you're not working out all the problems. When you're peace of heart, your heart's at rest. It has that confidence in God. Now in Hebrews chapter 3, and we are going to just briefly go over this tonight because we don't have long left. But we're going to dig into it a little bit later on, another week, God willing. So we're going to take a shovel to it and go digging for treasure. So Hebrews chapter 3, verse 18, right at the very end of the chapter. This chapter here is talking about the writer to the Hebrews. He's talking about God's people, how when they came up out of Egypt. You know, God had promised his people rest. Now, I'm sure you know this, but let me just give you a little bit of background. God's people, the Israelites, the people of God, were in Egypt. They were slaves in Egypt. They were held in bondage. And God brought them up out of their captivity by mighty miracles. And you can read about them in the book of Exodus. Really from Exodus 4 onwards. And you'll see how God brought them up out of Egypt, out of a land of bondage, out of that slavery, out of captivity. And they came into the wilderness. They came through the wilderness, and they came right to the very verge of the promised land, right to the edge of the promise, this land of rest that God had promised to bring them into. And yet, right at this, you know, it's almost that they could feel it and taste it and touch the land. They were that close to going into the promised blessings of God, receiving the rest that they had been promised. Don't forget, they were slaves. They were in bondage. They were working hard. They were paying with their lives to laboring for the Pharaoh. Yet God had promised them rest, a land of their own. And they came right to that point of, you know, almost touching the land. Yet they were disqualified from entering into the rest. Why? Well, let's see what the scripture says. Chapter 3, Hebrews 3, verse 18. And to whom did he swear that they would not enter his rest, but to those who did not obey? They didn't obey the word of God. God gave them instructions. He said you're to go into the land to take possession of it. You know, you've got to go in there, cast out all your enemies. You know, God had promised them this land. God had promised Abraham this land. And he promised his people this land. And he told them, he said, all you've got to do is go in, march into the land, take the land, get rid of the enemies, and you can have your rest. But they did not obey him. They looked at the problems. They looked at the giants in the land. They looked at the fortified cities. They looked at other things. And their perspective went from being... Now, they went from being the head to the tail. We were as... It says this in Numbers 13, when they're recounting it. We were as grasshoppers in their sight. They were the giants. But their perspective changed. They said, oh, we were grasshoppers. We were like the grasshoppers. Now, we were walking out in the country the other day and we saw a couple of locusts. You know, these... They're not that big.
They're sweet mornings.
What the...
They're sweet mornings.
Who's that?
The
locust. They were so small. And I've been out in the country in the UK walking in the road. You see the little crickets at the ground. They're like this. And this is what God's people says. We were like the grasshoppers. You know, they disobeyed God. Why? It says, verse 19 says, so we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. Therefore, he goes on in chapter 4, since a promise remains of entering his rest, let us fear. Now, that's not that petrifying fear. You know, let's have that holy reverence to God, lest any of you seem to have come short of it. For indeed, the gospel was preached to us as well as to them. But the word which they heard did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in those who heard it. What disqualified them? Disobedience and unbelief. And the same, if we disobey and walk in unbelief, we'll be disqualified from the rest. We can never have rest. We won't have rest in our mind or peace in our minds. We won't have peace in our heart. Why? Because if we're walking in disobedience and we're walking in unbelief, there can be no rest. Why? Because we're not walking in wisdom. It was a failure on their part to trust God and the word of his promise. They failed to walk in wisdom. If I go back to my definition of wisdom, they did not accurately judge and act upon the word of God. Here was a lost opportunity for them. You know, they could have been enjoying the blessings of the promised land. Yet they disobeyed, they were in unbelief, they didn't go into the promise, they were excluded from the promised land. Actually, it was that whole generation died in the wilderness. They had to suffer the wilderness for 40 years. It cost them, that generation, it cost them their lives, it cost them their destiny, it cost them all the promised blessing. Why? Because they didn't walk in wisdom. They didn't walk in obedience. They didn't walk in faith. But the scripture goes on in verse 3 of chapter 4. It says, for we who have believed do enter that rest. As he has said, so I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. Although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. Then in verse 9 it says this. It says, there remains therefore a rest for the people of God. There's still a promise of rest for us. Now, ultimately, this is talking about when we enter into heaven. That's going to be our final rest. But there's still a promise of rest for the here and now. As we walk in faith, as we walk in the wisdom of God, we can still be blessed now. Actually, I can't remember the exact reference off the top of my head, but it's one of the Psalms. Where David's recalling something, and he says, I would have lost heart, I would have given up, unless I believed that I would see the goodness of God, where? In heaven? No. He says, in the land of the living. Now. So that there's a blessing now, in the here and now. We can enter that blessing by faith. Just as I conclude, look, come with me to verse 11. He says, let us therefore be diligent to enter that rest, lest anyone fall according to the same example of disobedience. Let us be diligent to enter that rest. Now, diligence requires effort. You might think, well, that's not rest. Diligence requires, but what is that diligent? What is that labor, that effort that we have to put in? It's certainly not through worry. We labor a lot in worry sometimes. We put a lot of effort into worry. There are some people, if they haven't got anything to worry about, they get worried. And believe me, if you're going to worry, the devil certainly makes sure you've got plenty to worry about. But don't worry. It's not through, we can never get rest through worry. It's not through hard toil or works. How do we enter the rest? We enter the rest through faith in the living, active, powerful Word of God. That's what it says in verse 12. It says, let us therefore be diligent to enter that rest. Verse 12 says, then it goes on and says, the Word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit, and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Now, we've got the same word that they had. We've got the same promises. As we read in verse 2, they made a mistake. They didn't mix faith with the Word of God. They heard the Word of God and they didn't believe. They didn't obey. Let's not make that same mistake. Because they didn't enter the rest. But by faith, we can. Now, as I said, we're going to dig into that a little bit more another week. But for now, we'll leave it there.
Thank
Amen.
You. God bless you. Let's go to our 1st chapter, verse 13. Let me read two versions.